We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah, and we're up to the fifth chapter, which is really the final chapter of Pirkei Avot. The fifth chapter tells us a lot of numbers. There are many Mishnayot with numbers. 10 declarations, the creation of the world. 10 generations from Adam to Noah. 10 generations from Noah to Avram. 10 tests that Avram underwent. 10 miracles happened to our forefathers in Egypt. 10 miracles happened by the sea. 10 tests that our forefathers tried Hashem. 10 miracles that happened in the Beit HaMikdash. 10 things that were created at twilight of Shabbat. 7 attributes to Golem, to a person who's unrefined. 7 types of harmful things come to the world for 7 different reasons. 4 times during the year where pestilence will grow, will expand itself. 4 types of people, 4 types of approaches to life, 4 types of students, 4 types of people who give charity, 4 types of people who go to learn Torah, 4 types of people who sit in front of their teacher. Okay, so our first 15 Mishnayot in this chapter are about numbers. Okay, and then we have a few Mishnayot which again mention numbers. And the end of the chapter is, at 5 years old you do this, at 10 years old you do that, at 13 this, at 15 that, at 18, at 20, at 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Okay, that's the makeup of the chapter. It's good to know that, because when you'll try to remember where a Mishnah with numbers exists, it's in this chapter. Meaning the Mishnayot and Pirkei Avot with numbers are primarily here. In the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avot, the Gemara in Tractate Kiddushin tells us, why were the men of the great assembly, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, why were rabbis in the days of Ezra called Soferim, as we find in the book of Ezra, Ezra is called HaSofer. So the Gemara says the word Sofer means the one who gives a number, from the word Mispar. That was the period in Jewish history when the rabbis made the Mishnayot, made the oral tradition organized around numbers. So we have throughout Shas, we have numbers, right? Tractate Shabbos begins, Yitziyot HaShabbat Shnayim Shein Arba. In the 7th chapter, 2nd Mishnah, the tests that are prohibited on Shabbat are 39. You begin Nezikin, Arba Avot Nezikin, 4 prototypes of damages. You begin Tractate Shavuot. Again, you have Shavuot, Shnayim Shehin Arba'a. Tractate Nidarim. Again, Shnayim Shehin Arba'a. Throughout Shas, we have this overview of numbers. That's very good, because it gives us a condensed form and a good way to remember it. So, our chapter is a beautiful example of numbers that Chazal gave us. So, we begin the fifth chapter and the final chapter of Pirkei Avot. The 6th chapter is an addition. It is Braitot. The 6th chapter is really additions of things that are external to the Mishnah, which were added later on to Tractate Avot. And Rabbeinu Yonah really does not have a commentary on the 6th chapter. When we get there, we'll have to decide if we want to learn it with some other commentary. So now we begin. Ba'asara ma'amarot nivra olam. The world was created with 10 utterances, 10 sayings, 10 declarations. Umatin mod lomar. What are we supposed to learn from this idea that Hashem used 10 utterances? Now, the Gemara tells us that if you count the number of times it says Vayomer, Hashem said there should be light and there was light, you will come up with 9. The 10th is Bereshit bara Elokim tashamayim v'taaretz. The 10th is that beginning. Hashem says, in the beginning Hashem created the heaven and the earth. Over there it does not say an utterance, but that counts as 1. So you can actually count the 10. Yes?
The growth in this case doesn't refer to the 10 commandments?
No. It's the 10 Vayomer that are in the beginning of the Torah. V'alom ma'amar echad yacholi barot. Hashem could have made 1 declaration, and it would have been created. Notice the word lehi barot. It doesn't say livro. It doesn't say with 1 utterance Hashem could have created it, but rather it could have been created. Ela, but the concept is li paramin arshim shemeabedin to olam shenivram basram amarot. Hashem says, I will take the wicked to task, for they are destroying a world that was created with 10 utterances, veliten sachar tov letzadikim shemkayimin to'olam shenimcha ba'asara ma'amarot, and to give good wages to the tzadikim who keep the world extant with a world that was created with 10 declarations. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, mibreshit ad vayechulu k'tiv tisha pamim vayomer. From Bereshit till Vayechulu, the conclusion of creation, you have 9 times that it says the word Vayomer. Ubereshit, and the word Bereshit, namima maru. That's also a declaration. Shenemar, as the Pasuk in Tehillim tells us, bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu. The heavens that you see created with the words Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim, those heavens were also created with an utterance. That's what the Pasuk says in Tehillim. Bidvar Hashem, with the declaration of Hashem, Shamayim Nasu, the heavens were made. She'i efshar shenivru shamayim arts, ela b'ma'amar. The Gemara in Tractate Rosh Hashanah tells us that the heavens and the earth were also created with an utterance, even though it doesn't actually say it in the Pasuk. Tov. Uma tilmod v'alo b'ma'amar echad yechol liberot. What am I supposed to learn from this? It could have all been created with one utterance. Ratza lomar, the Mishnah means to say, ma ba lelamdeinu, what did it come to teach us? Kshamar ki basra mamrot nivra olam. When the Mishnah began and said, the world was created with 10 utterances. Now, I want to add something to Rabbeinu Yonah over here. The way Rabbeinu Yonah is interpreting the Mishnah has to be understood based on Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who quotes a Sefer Kritut in the beginning of Tractate Psachim. The Mishnah in Psachim asks a question. The Mishnah says, what did the rabbis mean when they said two rows have to be checked in the cellar? When you have a cellar with caskets of wine, you have to check two rows. What did the rabbis mean by that? We have a machloket bet shamayim bet hilel, how to interpret that line. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger was bothered. What does that mean when the Mishnah begins with the statement, what did the rabbis mean when they said? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger quotes from the Sefer Kritut, which was a Rishon, commentary that preceded Rav Yosef Karo. Rav Yosef Karo quotes him. The Mishnayot evolved over generations. The first Mishnah in Tractate Psachim says, we have a tradition from ancient times, during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash, that the rabbis set a line, check two rows in the cellar. That line that we have on tradition, what does that line mean? Oh, Bet Hillel says this, Bet Shammai says that. So when you have a Mishnah that says, Heichan Amru, where did the rabbis say this line? What the Mishnah is saying is, we have a tradition of a line that goes back generations. Now, where did they say that? We have an example of that also in Tractate Ketubot, in Tractate Eduyot, that the rabbis had a tradition that a woman once came running in from the field and said, my husband got killed. And even though they didn't find the body yet, the rabbis permitted her to remarry. So Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel say, why did the rabbis permit her to get remarried? What would happen if she came in from a faraway country and said, my husband got killed? Would we also trust her and let her get remarried? Machloket Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. But what do you see? You had a court case. They knew what the ruling was. The question was, why did they rule that way? And what was the logic behind the ruling? So sometimes the Mishnayot work off of a known ruling. Now, what does it mean? What Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us is that when the Mishnah continues and says, Uma tilmod, what am I supposed to learn from that? The Mishnah seems to be saying the same concept as Rabbi Akiva Eiger said. They had a tradition. They had a Mishnah that was on tradition. 10 utterances created the world, period. Now the later Mishnah comes back and says, wait, why was that an important quote? Why did the rabbis bother telling me that? What were they trying to tell me when they told me that? So that means even though I see the later form of the Mishnah is questioning an earlier quote. There once was a Mishnah that was just the quote, 10 utterances to create the world. And then a later Mishnah came along and asked, wait, why did they tell me that? So coming back to Rabbeinu Yonah. Yes, sir.
The same thing like in the beginning of Bracha, where it says, my name is Kriyashma.
How so?
It starts off with a question.
Right. The issue is not the question. The issue is the reference to a statement within the Mishnah.
Right.
What did that statement mean? Where did they mean it when they said it? it sounds like you have two generations. One said the statement, and a later generation asks, well, what was that statement all about? There we see in Rabbi Kiva Eiger that there were two generations, really. There was an earlier Mishnah and the later Mishnah. And that's possibly, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that's what's going on here. Because Rabbeinu Yonah says, Ma ba lelamdeinu kshamar? What was he teaching us when he said? Who said? So it certainly sounds like Rabbeinu Yonah's learning that this is a later Mishnah that goes back to the earlier Mishnah and says, why did that earlier Mishnah tell me it took 10 utterances to create the world? O perusho, or an alternate interpretation, Ma tilmod shenivru basara mamarot. The second interpretation is, what was Hashem telling me when he used 10 utterances to create the world? Two different interpretations of what does it mean when the Mishnah questions why? Was the Mishnah questioning why did the rabbis bother pointing this out? Or was the Mishnah questioning why did Hashem do it this way? Two interpretations in the Mishnah. Ela kedei lipara min harshem shemabedim. The idea is to hold accountable the wicked whose actions b'masehim, their actions destroy ha'olam, the world. It's supposed to impress upon us that this world is an amazing thing. It was created with 10 utterances. Sounds obvious, really? No. Many people live in this world and they say, what a horrible world we live in. People live in this world and they say, boy, this world is a worthless place. People have all kinds of lines of frustration about the world, especially when things don't go their way. Comes the opening psukim of Bereshit and tell you, Hashem created a magnificent world. Hashem invested a lot of work, so to speak, in creating the world. Yeah, Hashem could have done it in a flash. But no, Hashem made it an evolvement. Hashem made it with 10 utterances. And the idea is, Hashem says, I gave you a great world and I hold you accountable if you destroy it. Rabbeinu Yonah over here does not define, what does it mean the wicked destroy the world? Does it mean because the wicked drop atomic bombs on places? They send missiles to all kinds of places? Is that the simple meaning? They destroy the world because their actions are actually destructive? Or does it mean on a spiritual level? When a person is wicked, so then we know the way of the Torah is what develops the world. And being wicked is what destroys the world. Even if directly you can't see it, but the idea is ultimately it is destructive.
Physically?
I think also physically.
Because this goes back to the Rambam's letter that Torah, what was the word about that around Torah there's like scientific achievements?
And therefore?
That progresses the world forward.
I don't know if he means that way, but I think one can see the spiritual and the physical is interconnected. When Hashem told us this is the good way to live in this planet, Hashem was also saying this is the way in which the planet will flourish. If people honor their parents, so then their parents will be able to live a much longer life. There's the spiritual side of it, but the spiritual side affects the physical side. If people don't steal, then society can develop. Militen sachar tov, you know, about 20 years ago, we were sitting around the Shabbos table, and a businessman was by us for the meal, and he said, you know, this week I flew too. And he started telling us where around the globe he was flying on his journeys. He said, what a magnificent world we have today. We can travel all around the world. And at the time, I said to him, I was a kid, I mean, I was a teenager, I said, it only works because there's still peace in the world. Once war breaks out, it doesn't. All the technology doesn't help you. You can't move. You can't budge. About 10 years ago, 8 years ago, I met him again. And I asked him, how are your travels? He said, I don't travel anymore. I said, why not? He said, ever since 9/11, it takes so much time to get through security to go anywhere. He said, the world travel has changed. It's become so expensive time-wise to travel. I don't travel anymore. It's not worth it. He said, the time it takes, I'll send my people, I'll do things by phone, I'll do things by teleconference. I know I'm losing by it, but I don't have the time. I can't travel anymore. So I thought back to our conversation before 9/11. That's what I was thinking, right? So here you have an example where being wicked has direct ramifications in the destruction of the infrastructure of the world. I don't think they imagined, the people who blew up the Twin Towers, what dramatic effects it would have on the whole world that day. They thought they would be destructive to the United States. They thought they would do it, they would kill a certain number of people. I don't think they could have imagined how they would have changed the world. The Mishnah tells us a concept which can be understood, that the spiritual overlaps with the physical. The spiritual life the Torah gives us definitely affects our physical life. The Pasuk was impressing upon us the importance of this world and the great wages that come to tzaddikim who uphold this world that was created with 10 utterances. The world was created for no other reason other than to do that which is right and straight in the eyes of Hashem. And those who do that, they keep the world existent. And again, this can be understood on either front, the physical or the spiritual, and they're both right. I'm just not sure which one Rabbeinu Yonah means to say the Mishnah is teaching us. There is an underlying theme that appears in this Mishnah, and it appears in numerous places in Pirkei Avot and in Chazal. And that is the concept that the Kuzari stresses, that in Judaism we believe in the importance of this world. It is very easy to get carried away with the idea of the world to come and think that my only focus is the world to come, and it's not true. The Mishnah points out the importance of this world and other Mishnayot. It's a recurring theme in the Kuzari, in the Rambam, in Ramban. Torah wants us to be productive in this world. The idea that there is a world to come helps us work out the hardships and the difficulties in this world. Helps us work out the pain that man undergoes in this world. But it does not change our focus. Our focus is to make things right here. We have a job to make this world a better place. And the Mishnah is another support, another source that gives us this underlying theme. Hey, this world is important. Don't put down the world you live in. Very often people say, oh, what do I care? It's just Olam Hazeh. I care. It's Olam Hazeh. It's important. And I have to make it right. I have to make it work. I have a friend who always tells me, you know, our life is so fleeting. Before you know it, it's gone. And it's true. It's true. But the flip side is, we have a purpose. We have to do something with this time. If it's fleeting, that makes our responsibility greater. It doesn't make it less. The stress of this world. I got to make things happen in this world to the best of my ability.
You would think that the more you care about Olam Haba, the more it matters what you're doing in Olam Hazeh. There's no guarantee if you don't do anything productive in Olam Hazeh that your Olam Haba is going to be equally good than if you did, right? It would seem illogical. Shem wouldn't give us a test. But maybe it's a way of people just kind of cope with. It's not the healthiest way, but the way people, I would think, cope with some of the things that don't end up in